In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, lovely. Tom has given me the hardest discipleship talk to ever speak on. But here we go. Let's go. And in our discipleship, when we want to follow Jesus, we may press the like button, as it were. We may press the follow button. But unfortunately, many of us seem to, including myself, have the Christopher Columbus syndrome, where you think you're going one way, but actually you end up a different way completely. And we get lost and we wonder where we are. We find a different place. Can we have the first slide? We get stuck. And we get stuck in our most sacred faith. Our culture insists on the news, the popular TV programs, that everything is important right now, isn't it? Right now. You focus on the right now. And all of that is important. As it were, you should see all these, you should see that YouTube clip. In fact, there are 4 billion YouTube clips, and even if we were born just today, we would never ever see every one. But the world is saying, you must see this, you must see him, you must see them, you must see her, you must see it. It's always urgent. Where God has no place and no priority. No one sets out to fail or to have a bad day at work or at home, but it so happens so often, doesn't it? I find in my life this happens. But today I want you to encourage you to take heart as you follow Jesus. I want to get unstuck, and I want to give you some practical tips that I find in my life of walk of faith along the road with Jesus. In our reading, and just before the reading, Jesus had resolutely set out from Galilee. He went through Samaria, and he was thrown out, actually. And he set his face like a flint to Jerusalem. And so he had an end point. He had a destiny. He had a mission. He had a task, and a wondrous task to complete. And as we look at this passage, he is going to take you and myself somewhere. We have each other and Jesus on our road forever. And having Jesus with us as a good shepherd, it's a wonderful thought, because we are all on the road with Jesus. Well, here we are. Let's just look at these few verses together. First, are these harsh replies of Jesus? Go to the next slide. Are these harsh replies of Jesus? Or is there a cultural context to some of this? The first person just shouted out, I will follow Jesus, you Jesus, I will follow you. Jesus said, you know, foxes have holes. I've been on the road, and I haven't got a house, I haven't been in a hotel. I've got a place to go. You don't even know where I'm going. You don't know where I've been. But this person just speaking and just saying things. He doesn't understand what he is really saying. The second says, first, Lord, Jesus asked him, follow me. And the man would say, first let me go and bury my father. What is he saying? He's saying, I've got all these social obligations. Now, there's nothing wrong with social obligations. We all have them, don't we? But you see, at that point, Jesus is going to Jerusalem, and he has a mission. And the next one is almost like it, isn't it? He says, I will follow you. And Jesus said, no one, let me say goodbye to my family. And Jesus says, no one who puts their hand to the plow, and we've got a picture of a lovely plow, there it is. No one who puts their hand to the plow is fit. Why is that? Well, I don't know if you've done any gardening, but when you do gardening, you want to make a straight line. And on the plow, you've got an oxen at the front. And if you're looking backwards, that line is going to go askew. It's going to go flat, and it won't make a furrow. So it's a very apt thought, the farming agricultural thought, isn't it? You have to plough a straight furrow. Maybe you see all those marks in the landscape. You see these ridge and furrow in the garden. I don't know if you've ever seen them in the fields. And they're straight. They're not all wonky like this. You can't plant crops like that. Jesus is saying, look, you can't look back. I've got somewhere to be. No one and nothing is going to stop me from going to Jerusalem. He had an engagement at the cross for you and me. And nothing was going to take his eye off the ball. You see, Jesus wants you and I to grow up, to mature. He wants us to know him personally, to walk with him, to talk with him. He wants to speak to you and to me, and for us to really hear what he has to say to us in all the ups and downs of our lives, because he loves you and me. We make excuses, don't we? I'm just like this. You know, I've got hurt. I've been hurt in the past. It didn't work out for me. I can't change. My personality type is this. And I'm so busy. And I show my faith in what I do. But what happens then? We become having a childish faith. If you have the next slide. Okay, I don't know if you know this. Is that the right one? Whoops. Right, I don't remember the very last episode of Blackadder, but all I can say is this, is that when you, is at the very last episode of this humorous show, was when they all had to go in the World War I, the group of them in a, they all tried to not actually take part in war, but at the very last they really would have to go over the edge and fight their part in World War I. But before they did so, and they all knew that, but before they did so, they ordered lovely Hugh Laurie to pray, to say a prayer. And Hugh, poor lovely Hugh, couldn't think of a prayer. He only knew one prayer. What was that prayer? For what we are about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful. Oh, goodness me. He had all the best lines, but it's that chat. We want to be grown up and we just don't know what to say and do. We can make excuses, but at the end of the day, we are on the road with Jesus. You might say, I don't want to be different. I want to do things my way of thinking, my way of actions, and onto my soundtrack. You only live once, you know. Live for today. Get all your experiences, spiritualities, see the world and do your bucket list. But in this secular, popular, humanist gospel, is advocates on every program and social media platform, education and business institution. But, you know, there's something they miss. There's something missing. What is missing? It's like in that wonderful book and film, Sense and Sensibility. I actually saw it the other day for the first time in my life. And wonderful, Alan Rickman and Kate Winslet were talking. And in their character, in Kate Winslet's character, Marianne Dashwood. She has been spurned. She has been let down by a baddie in the story because she was going to get married and she was desperate. And so she's very upset. And she says to the colonel, Alan Rickman, Colonel Bradmoney, she says, "I want to go the way of the world. I'm just gonna finish with here and just do my own thing, as it were." And Alan Rickman says, "That would not become you. If I were you, I would stay far away from that." And that is good advice, isn't it? That is good advice. Why is that? Because as a disciple, we're swimming against a great tide of fear in our world and of uncertainty and myths and truths that seem to be on all sorts of ways. And they really unnerve us, don't they? And it reminds me of, and if we swim against that tide, it's hard. It's not easy. Some years ago, I was on holiday with my boys and with my families. We're on holiday, and I had gone to have some tea with my sister and brother-in-law. And I remembered that I wanted, before we went, to go for a last swim. And I'd go on a bodyboard, which was very exciting. When he still just about made it and have a little bit of energy in the afternoon. And as the lads were swimming on bodyboards, I said, "Oh, can I borrow one? I just had one go." And I got on the wave, and the wave seemed, I got on, I was really excited, got on, and it seemed to be taking me back. And I started to sink. I swallowed a few drafts of seawater, and I was saying, I'm in trouble here. I'm in trouble. What should I do? I had to shout to my son Tom, who's a strong swimmer. I said, Tom, just drag me in. I can't seem to get anywhere." And Tom dragged me back. Isn't that like that what we need to do? We had to shout. We're stuck. We need to admit it and shout. Shout, tell someone to sort it out. In Romans 10, verse 10, it says this: "If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in his heart that he raised him from the dead, that you will be saved." If you confess in our lips, there's something powerful when we speak out loud. And this is the nature of our discipleship, of walking with Jesus. It's there. We go on the next slide. Let's stick with this one. I think I've made a mistake, unfortunately. When King David, he has a great big a chunk of the Bible devoted to his life, and another chunk to his inner life. We see his life from when he was young, a teenager, to when he was old. And we see his life from the inside as well, and how he talked to God and how God spoke to him. How amazing is that? From a very early age, he looked after sheep. He looked after, it wasn't a great job, but actually it had got a bit of money to it, and it kept their family. He learned to protect those sheep. He learned to trust in God. He learned to protect the sheep and then the nation by defeating Goliath and then gradually winning the hearts of the people because he trusted God. And yet he was far from perfect. And in fact, most of the Psalms, his inner life, is shouting to God, "Help! I need help! I need strength! Please do turn up!" Isn't that our story? And to make music, to praise God, even praise God in the midst of doubt and of difficulty, he could voice that. He could voice that because he knew God. He knew and he trusted him. We can know that too. We can know that. That's like a template. And he became, from a teenager, he became, from the protector of the sheep, he became the protector of the nation. Did he realize this? Did he know where he was going in his life? Of course not. Of course not. But he trusted God. And all the people, you find that in the Bible, they didn't know where they're going. They just trusted God. The next step, the next step. And that's what we need to do as well. Peter, Simon Peter, he was a man who, well, Simon means swayed by the wind. You know, when people say one thing, they don't do it. They sometimes they're feeling good and they will say things, and then sometimes they'll hold back or whatever. But he was swayed, that sort of person. A bit double-minded, a bit iffy. He became a rock. That's what Peter means. Because Jesus said, you are Peter, Simon, you are now going to be a rock. You're going to be rocky. Rocky roads. Yeah, rocky. He had a new identity. And we had to take that to heart as well. Maybe you feel a bit swayed by the wind, like a reed in blowing in the breeze sometimes. God wants to make you a rock. Solid person inside. When Peter walked on the water, he put his eyes on Jesus. That was his secret. And the rest of his life, how did that turn out? Not bad. Not bad, he made mistakes. But hey, we got his life. We can see his life now in history. Written down, it's amazing. And he speaks to us today. And finally, in this part, it was not his own way. He didn't go his own way. But finally, we got this lovely, the servant, a servant's attitude. Mary, the mother of Jesus, a teenager, she knew the stories. She knew the stories in the Hebrew scriptures of the women of God. And she, when the angel Gabriel came to her, as a teenager, said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." She was ready when God had to speak to her. She was ready. God had filled her with the Holy Spirit. And she responded. And amazingly, she kept... She knew that she knew things from the past, the Bible in the past, and she remembered the scriptures. She remembered what Jesus did, and a lot of the gospel, quite a few parts of the gospel, are from Mary. Mary remembered, recalled them, and gave them to Luke and the gospel writers. How amazing! And that's a fantastic way of being a disciple, isn't it? You know, we have our baptismal vows and confirmations that we don't belong to us. We don't belong to ourselves, as it were. But we belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Good Shepherd who's going to take us all the way on the road. We need to put our lives into his hands. They're very capable. We work today and let Jesus worry about tomorrow. We need to grow up. You know, in the words of Rob Parsons, tomorrow doesn't have to look like yesterday in our discipleship. We make prayer a priority. You know, if we were diagnosed with cancer, God forbid, and there were tablets that we could take to ward off that cancer, will we take them? It's a priority, isn't it? It's a priority. How can we practically do things? We need to choose a place where we won't be distracted. We turn off those notifications on the phone or our mobiles. We might go sit down somewhere walk around, go for a walk outside if it's warm enough, and choose a time to have that lovely, beautiful, holy moment with God, and decide and stick to it. Don't worry about the quantity of time at first. If all you can say is, "Lord, have mercy on me," that's enough. He's listening. He will hear your cry. He's all heard all our cries. Ask Jesus to help. Know him better. Ask him. Speak to him. Use your prayers we say in church. There's loads of prayers we say. The whole Church of England has a great big book of them. If you don't know those, we can go online and you can have them read to you. Follow them. They're fantastic. Make the Lord's Prayer personal. My Father in heaven, hallowed be, I want to make your name great, holy. Forgive me my sins, and I want to forgive those who sin against me. We can use a lovely app, which the Church of England has, the Lectio 365 Daily Prayers. Fantastic. It's really good if you just can't think of anything. Have a wonderful app which gives you morning, an evening, and night prayer. How wonderful. How beautiful it is. We pray our prayers from the heart. You could write them down. It's amazing how many prayers will be answered. I dare you to check it out. It is worth it. In a prayer journal, you could write them down on a piece of paper or in your phone, you can say them. God will answer your prayers. It's true. If we honestly open our hearts to God, he will answer and mature you. Listen to and follow the Bible. If you're not very good at reading, try to listen at the same time with an app. There's an apps you can listen at the same time, but try and read. My suggestion is to read at the same time. That's what I used to teach my students. Read along with it. If you don't know the words, it doesn't matter. God is going to help you. Feed on him. Sometimes we pray about those words. Ask him for understanding about those things, about those prayers, about those verses, about Jesus. Maybe on that journey we'll get into problems. Yep, there's problems on the way, aren't there? Maybe you say, "I feel like a hypocrite." But so talk to Jesus, ask for forgiveness, clean up, get away that shame. He will set you free. That's been my experience. You might say, "I don't feel like it. I feel far from God." Well, if you're ill, it's really difficult sometimes to pray. I remember when I was ill, I said, "I'm just going to do this because I know it's right, but I'm going to do it anyway, even if I don't feel anything. I'm just going to do it because I knew and I saw the blessing." Afterwards, Jesus will meet you. Dare to learn. Dare to find out the solutions to some of the problems we have. You might say, "I don't believe like you, David." So ask Jesus about it. Just ask him. Ask others. Say, "What do you think?" Sometimes we have lots of doubts and anxieties. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we have to doubt our doubts and trust in the Lord. Other times we have to just put those doubts to one side. You know, it's not what we don't understand that troubles me. It's what I do understand that troubles me. Yeah, and those are the important things, aren't they? We have to expect, hard word, expect obstacles. Expect the unexpected. Expecto patronum. Expect opposition and expect Jesus to turn up. Expect to fail, and when you do, which we do always, and not when we do, there's a fantastic verse in the Hebrew scriptures called Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. You see, when that happens, we start to learn, we start to ask, we start to know that forgiveness, that strength, that wisdom, that actually we are made to depend on God. So when we have the Lord, we need to go next one, I think. Okay, good. We have a destiny. We have a destiny with Jesus. He had a passionate destiny of suffering at the cross and passion. He wanted to do this for you, me and you, and rise again from the dead. His destination, Jerusalem, nothing was going to stop him from that, his death on the cross. As Messiah, Savior, and Lord, he was going to fulfill his mission. And Jesus has a plan for you to reach the end, whether by natural or when he comes again himself. We have to live with the end in view, with one eye on our destiny. All the early church did this, and many of the church fathers and mothers did exactly the same. We declare it when we have communion. Until he comes, we need to understand him who we are walking with, because we are on the road with Jesus, and we realize that things will around us will rust and fade. Don't put your trust in those. Let's mature, grow up. We need to interpret life by faith, his word, and the wisdom of the church. Understanding our faith is really important. Investigate it. We've got lovely Lent to do that, to investigate. Check it out. Is it right? How does it work? Let's see to it. I never understood this. Well, investigate it. God's living word is meant to be found. We are meant to find Jesus. He is there to be found. Such and such is really difficult. But ask for Jesus about it. Check it out. Really work at it. He will help us. We need to be patient with ourselves and with each other. But remember, most people here have experienced troubling times and discipleship. We're in it together, but with Jesus. We are to seek first the kingdom of God and to keep our eyes at the finish with Jesus in the next last one. Oh, I haven't got that. Oh, I see. Okay. I must have saved it in the wrong way. Okay. Sometimes it's the last thing we want to do, but Jesus is on the road and we need to take heart and rise to that challenge. We need to think about the things the way that Jesus expects us to do that, to depend on him in prayer. Hear his living word. It's his speaking. He is speaking to you. He will speak to you. And sing his songs. The songs will fill your heart and our mind. I remember walking with my wife, and the song's been in my head all day, because the night before I was at a meeting and we were singing one of the songs that we sing here, and it was just in my heart. And for the next week, it was just stayed there. It was a beautiful thing. You know, we need to put our hand in the hand from the man from Galilee. We need to put our hand in the hand of the man who walked on water, the man who stilled the sea. Come with me. Amen.